Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Happy Wednesday, everyone! Feliz As miércoles. Always. Oh, sorry, Steph, I talked over you. Say it again.
I talked over you. Sorry. Feliz miércoles.
There you go. We hope you all are having a great day. Siempre se los vamos a desear. But before we jump into today's episode, we have an update. We get so excited. Esas coñas chiquitas.
Literally, it's just so much fun to see it come to life, you know?
It is, yeah.
So what is the update, Jahaira? What is the tea?
Okay, well, we finally received our mugs. Ooh. We made some Cuento Crimen mugs para que se puedan tomar su cafecito o su tecito, because me personally, I don't drink coffee. I can't do caffeine.
I'm a coffee lover, so.
Yeah, so, or, you know, even just water to get an agua. Oh my God, wait, super side note, but my son learned how to say agua. Yeah, he says agua now. Sorry. but anyways, yes, Cuento Crimen mugs are here. We have them. They're in our hands. And I think they're cute.
I think they came out really cute.
Right? Yeah.
I will say, like, I think my brother is, like, a really hard judge. Mm-hmm. Like, we, like, show him everything, right?
Yeah.
And when we got the mugs and I showed him, he was like, these are nice.
Yeah, they're nice. They're like little petite mugs.
Yes.
Y dicen Cuento Crimen, and y'all will wait to see what the design is.
They're cute.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're proud of that. Update. And a little bit more on merch. Today, actually, our notebooks were printed. So another spoiler alert.
That's right. We got y'all some bullet journals.
Yeah. So they've been printed. So now we're just going to wait to get them.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to like physically hold them. Yes. I feel like holding the mug physically was very like,
I know, coming to life.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, we're still waiting on other things. We don't know exactly like the time frame for that. So we haven't decided on a launch date. Yeah. So
I think first you have to receive everything. Y después ahí ya mirar like what's the best timing.
Yes.
So keep yourselves posted. Follow us on Instagram. Yes. So anyways, enough with the merch. Now a lo que vinieron todos, another true crime episode. But as usual, we will talk about sensitive topics. Entonces queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. All right, let's jump in. En este episodio vamos a hablar sobre Jaime Cárdenas Prado. Jaime es conocido como el Jimmy o también como el asesino de Sucre. Y como dijimos también en el intro, el niño de terror.
All names which are very terrifying. Mm-hmm. Él nació el 9 de abril en el año 1987 en Santa Cruz, Bolivia. And yes, we are covering a South America case. It is a much more known case allá in Bolivia than it is here in the United States. Like I know Steph and I both didn't know about this case, but apparently it's a bit of a big one.
And so, como siempre, we would like to begin with some background information on Jaime Cárdenas Prado. But also, before we really jump into the case, I want to like, I guess, bring up the question so that we all think about it during the episode. And the question is, are killers born that way, or is it how you grow up? So I guess kind of like the whole nature versus nurture kind of thing. Like, are killers born killers, or do they become killers?
It's kind of like the psychopath versus what is it? Psychopath versus sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a debate. I always forget which is which.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's begin. So Jaime Cárdenas Prado nació el 9 de abril del 1987 en Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Y él tenía una familia grande. En total, sus padres tuvieron 10 hijos. That's almost like half a class. I don't know, I go crazy with one. Imagine 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of kids. But of course, being 10 kids and only two parents, like, it is hard to give equal attention to all the kids, right?
Yeah, for sure. Or the patients también, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, Jaime was left alone. He had a lot of freedom and they were not really watching over him.
And things took a turn when los padres de Jaime se divorciaron cuando él solo tenía 4 años. And, you know, every kid reacts differently, right? So it's a different experience for everyone. And so we do want to say that we did not find anything on his initial reaction to his parents' separation.
I feel like as a four-year-old, probablemente sí notó que sus papás ya no estaban juntos, mm-hmm. but I feel like he might have been too young to maybe
understand
and process or even like verbalize what he was feeling, mm-hmm. you know? Y entonces, as you know, time goes by, su padre se casó otra vez, pero Jaime no tenía buena relación con su madrastra. No sabemos muchos detalles as to why they didn't get along. We just know that the relationship wasn't there. Y el papá de Jaime trabajaba mucho y no estaba en la casa a lot of the time. So it would just mostly be Jaime and his stepmom. And as Jaime started growing up, él se empezó a juntar con gente que were kind of just like a bad influence. Like as these are people that introduced him to alcohol and other drugs. And they just... You know, like in school, we call them like toxic friendships, you know, friendships mm-hmm. that just aren't good for each other. And this is exactly the type of people that Jaime found.
Yeah, because when we read that he was drinking since 11 years old, that is very telling, you know, like what kind of friends and what kind of circle he's been around. And like, I do want to, you know, step back and think back, who is an 11-year-old kid, right? So if you like reflect back to when you were an 11-year-old, like just to paint a picture of how small you were. And like yeah. now as an adult, who you are, like 11-year-old should not be drinking.
I mean, at 11 years old, you're still like in elementary. Mm-hmm. You're on your way out of yeah. elementary. You're a child. So yeah, estaba chiquito. And like Steph and I were saying, this kid had so much freedom. Él era libre. And if there's one thing that I found out is that if kids are free, they will be up to no good most of the time. Y él siempre se salía tarde, andaba en las calles. And no one was out looking for him, really. Like he had... No curfew, he had no rules, like he was doing what he wanted, essentially.
Mm-hmm. A los 14 años, él ya había probado de todo tipo de drogas. And so, yeah, I guess that's like really the course that his life took, right? Mm-hmm. Y luego leímos que durante el mes de noviembre del año 2001, él hizo un robo. Y en este robo, se robó un celular de un señor. Y luego... lo vendió para poder comprar alcohol y de allí comenzó a robar más para comprar alcohol y drogas.
And as we kept reading, también leímos que Jaime también tuvo un hijo a una temprana edad. Pero no sabemos nada sobre su pareja. Like, we don't know if they were together. We don't know, like, their, I guess, love story.
Mm-hmm. And so, I guess this lifestyle kept escalating, right? Entonces, luego Jaime se dedicó a robar now, not just celulares, but now it's like autos, right? Mm-hmm. You know, le quita las llantas, los estéreos, cosas de carros para luego él, para poder él venderlas, right? And to like get money. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, that later isn't enough, right? So he started off with cell phones, now with cars, y ahora that's not enough. Porque ya luego lo estaba haciendo like muy frecuente.
I mean, it's como dice el dicho, entre más tienes, más... Yeah, right? Entre más tienes, más quieres. Mm-hmm. So it's like the more you have, the more you want to keep having. And mm-hmm. so you keep at it.
You just unlocked a new dicho.
Ooh.
That's the first one we said.
El que más tiene, más quiere. Mm-hmm. That is it. I mean, my mom always said that dicho too. Mm-hmm. So now at this point in the story, he is 18 years old. So now he's an adult. And again, he was still going to do what he does. And he was planning on stealing from this one particular man. Pero esta persona se resistió. Y entonces, a ver que el señor se estaba resistiendo, Jaime sacó un cuchillo y mató al señor.
He ran away, but ultimately, Jaime was identified y lo arrestaron.
But when he was arrested, Jaime did not have any identification, and also the police did not have much evidence against him, so they kind of let him go, right? Because, I mean, to start off, you don't even know who this person really is.
And so, yeah, like, the main reason they let him go was because he was a minor. But we will say, like, at this point, he was 18.
Yeah, but the cops didn't know that because he didn't have ID. Mm-hmm. So somehow, along the way, he becomes friends with a man. Y este hombre se llamaba Ever Avicera. Jaime and Ever become friends, and they have very similar backgrounds.
Yeah, Ever and Jaime became really good friends. Y sí, como había dicho Jahaira, Ever era un policía, pero fue dado de baja. But we don't know why or how it got to that point. But he did. He was let go. And then he became friends with Jaime. And because of the things that they were doing is the reason why they have a similar background.
Y entonces, on October 9th, 2009, in Sucre, Bolivia, se juntaron con dos muchachas. Se juntaron con Marfa Delgado, de 20 años, y Nairobi Muñoz, de 21 años. Y ellos las invitaron a salir e ir a tomar, pero el plan era que al fin de la noche las iban a robar y quitarles sus pertenencias.
Pero también along the way, ellos abusaron de las muchachas, and these two women told them that they were going to the police to report them. Y al escuchar esto, Jaime y Ever proceeded to stab them in the face y las mataron a cuchilladas en la cara y luego con piedras en la cabeza.
It's just so gruesome.
It is.
And like, I honestly have no words to even comment, really.
Yeah.
It's just like stab wounds and then con piedras. It's just too much.
It is. It's speechless. It leaves you speechless. Mm-hmm. Y entonces esto pasó el 9 de octubre. Y el 11 de octubre las muchachas fueron encontradas y fueron identificadas. But again, no one was arrested for this gruesome, horrible crime.
Mm-hmm. And like, of course, these girls had families and people that cared for them. And so, you know, these families and friends are going to do everything they can, right, to get justice. So somehow they got information of these two men. Y el novio de una de esas muchachas quiso vengarse él mismo. Él contrató a personas, known as sicarios, para matar a Jaime. Pero en lugar, mataron al hijo de Jaime, de 4 años. Y esto sucedió en el año 2010.
That makes me so mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, por la culpa de Jaime, su hijo llevó las consecuencias. And that is so not fair. Like, mm-hmm. That pisses me off so
Un
bad.
Un niño.
Yeah.
Que no tiene culpa de nada.
Nada. And who even knows if Jaime was in his life, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lo mejor él ni conocía a su padre y por la culpa de su padre, él murió. How is now killing a 4-year-old going to make that better?
Mm-hmm. I agree. More pain on top of pain. But, you know, I get maybe the feeling of, like, trying to get revenge, but a un niño, no.
I mean, you know what they say, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Another dicho.
Oh, sorry. I'm on a roll today.
Yes. Entonces, you know, this really affected Jaime and ahora tiene más odio el mismo, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, something in him, right? This triggered it even more. Haber perdido su hijo. This really, like, led to more of his crimes.
Mm-hmm. Jaime robbed and he robbed and he robbed. And he wouldn't steal much value, so he always got away with it. Like, his robberies were very, like, petty and very, like, just kind of insignificant, right?
Yeah, it's, like, not, like, big amounts of money.
Not,
know?
Like, banks or, yeah. You know, jewelry stores, none of that.
Yeah, so he would get away with it.
Yeah, and if he did get caught, he would bribe the police, and he would eventually get away with it.
Mm-hmm. So he's stealing and stealing, right? And so, el 17 de febrero del año 2011... In a ciudad La Paz, Bolivia, Jaime tried robbing a person, but this person refused. And he was only injured, right? Like, the guy, like, you know, made it out of this situation alive. Like, he was only injured, right? And there were witnesses that saw Jaime. And so, you know, the police were called about this incident.
Mm-hmm. And Jaime, who was now 23 years old, was trying to escape, but he ended up being captured. And when he got captured, he admitted to killing more than 30 people. That's insane. 30 people, including the 2 university girls that we talked about earlier in the episode, and including the man that he stole a laptop from. But like, imagínate 30 personas.
Mm-hmm. To confess that,
mm-hmm.
It's like he's stealing, right? That's his what he's doing, right? And then to find out police are letting go of this person who's stealing stuff, but in reality, he's stealing and killing, mm-hmm. And they're letting him go.
And there's been cases like that, donde fueron arrestados for, like, one crime, and then it led to them being, like, killers of, like, multiple people,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, oh my God, another dicho is about to come out of my mouth, but caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. Like, you just don't know. And it sucks because, like, 30 people were murdered, mm-hmm. Because of this person,
mm-hmm.
You know?
And so when he got captured, he also admitted that he was friends con, you know, police officers, and that's how he was getting away, by just paying them off. And he also went as far as saying that some of these police officers even asked him for criminal favors.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. It sucks to like hear about how corrupt the system is. I mean, yeah. It's not, like, we know, you know, but like, it just sucks hearing it.
Yeah.
No tienen descaro. And de veras que no tiene descaro, Jaime, because he also went to the extent to say que realmente no recuerda cuántas personas mató. That it could actually be 40 to 45 people. It's insane.
How can you, I don't know, like not remembering? It's like someone is just so used to doing that, you know, like to just kind of lose count is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's crazy.
I feel like once you stop counting, it becomes a norm for you.
Yeah.
And it's just like something that's part of your ordinary life. Mm-hmm. It's just
like,
scary.
I guess the scary part is like, how did that become your norm?
Yeah.
You know?
En un video se ve a Jaime hablando. Y él dice que tenía más vergüenza nomás con la gente que lo conocen. He seems like he doesn't really care for what he did. Like, he doesn't really seem remorseful. He just kind of seems like, oh, man, like, I've been caught. Like, you know how they say, like, you're not sorry for what you did, but you're sorry that you got caught? Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the vibes that he was giving.
After this video, los médicos lo evaluaron y dijeron que Jaime sí es consciente en lo que él estaba haciendo y que tenía una personalidad agresiva y que era un psicópata y que era una persona con una personalidad que él va a hacer lo que tenga que hacer para lograr lo que él quiera.
Y el 6 de diciembre del 2011 le dieron su sentencia. They gave him 30 years of prison por las muchachas, por la violación y por el asesinato.
Y también le dieron la misma sentencia al ex policía, su amigo, Evar Avísvera.
La policía no investigó los otros asesinatos de cuales Jaime kind of sort of confessed to. Nomás lo condenaron por las dos muchachas, que fue Marfa Delgado de 20 y Nairobi Muñoz de 21 años. Y no se sabe si hubo una investigación con los otros crímenes. Like, we just know that this was pretty much all that was included in his sentencing.
Cuando le dieron su sentencia, Jaime le dijo al juez that if he could escape, he would get revenge.
And that right there shows that he really does not have any remorse. Like, mm-hmm. No conscience, nothing there. He was sent to prison. Lo mandaron a la prisión de San Roque en Sucre, Bolivia. And he was isolated in a room that they called El Pozo.
A few months later, he actually escaped.
So that's insane.
And scary for, like, you know, quote unquote, the people who he wants to get revenge on, yeah. Right? Entonces, el 30 de marzo del año 2012, he took advantage when they took him out of his routine, and that's when he escaped.
Pusieron una notificación naranja, which is an international alert. And the orange notice kind of was to warn of an event, a person, an object, or a process representing a serious and immediate threat to public safety.
Moving forward, el 3 de mayo del año 2012, he is captured in Yucumo, Bolivia. He was in a carpenter trailer, and that was where he was captured.
He was quickly taken to Chonchocorro in La Paz, Bolivia, where he is resuming his 30 years of the maximum sentence that he got.
In present day, en sus entrevistas, él dice que, you know, he is regretful, resentful of what he did. Y él mismo dice que he deserves the death penalty, but, you know, Bolivia does not have this there.
I don't want to get into the whole conversation, but maybe he's saying that because he knows that it's not a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
He also claims that it's difficult for him to live having those memories, like las memorias de todos los asesinatos que él cometió, y que he wishes that he could lose his memory.
And so he turned over to religion. And there are videos of him in prison praying and talking about God.
I don't know, man. It's a whole conversation. Like, he killed more than 10 people. You seem to have no remorse al principio.
Yes.
And then you get captured and you escape.
Yes.
You know, so it's...
And, like, we don't even know, right? He said he killed between 30 to 40. Like, yeah. He lost count.
Could be more. I don't know.
It's difficult. I guess bringing back the question from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Is a serial killer born a killer? Or does life and the way they grow up make them a killer?
That is a deep question.
It's such a hard question.
I don't know. I feel like you kind of have to have it in you.
Maybe, huh?
I feel like, yeah, because I feel like sometimes we don't decide what happens to us, but we do decide our reaction. Mm-hmm. And I feel like no matter what happens, for you to decide that you want to kill someone, that's, I feel like that's extreme. That's on the extreme side. So it's like, I don't know.
It's difficult. I feel like, I mean, I know there's like, I know like there's like research behind it, right? Like there's, you know, like signs that growing up, like if you do this, this and that, it could be a sign, right? So there's science behind it, research behind it. But I also think it's like a little bit of a personal opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what y'all think, right? We can post the question in like on Spotify specifically. We can design like the question. I'll do that. And then we can like see what people think in the comments.
Yeah. So give us your opinions, your answers on Spotify.
Yes.
So,
or, you know, you can also let us know on Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah, just interested in like learning more about it. And this like leads to our next question. Do y'all think that someone can turn good, can be a good person, do a whole like revamp of a personality, change of heart after committing these kinds of crimes?
That's a hard one too.
It's a hard one too.
I feel like si si es que cambian, it's like, what is going to drive them to trigger them enough to bring that back out?
Yes, I was actually thinking that too. Like, let's say they did change and like for whatever reason, they're released. That's still scary. Like there's going to be triggers. Maybe.
There's going to be
like
triggers, temptation, especially like when something is so normalized to you, like you're just like, I can do one more. Mm-hmm. I could get away with it again. You know, so.
It's scary. But yeah, another big question that comes with like, honestly, like could be, I don't know. I feel like for these two questions, you can try to convince me because it's just really, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. Or
I don't think there's a right answer. Yeah.
I feel like also it's case by case too.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Individuals. So, yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of gray areas.
Let us know what you think. I'm going to post these two questions for this episode. So let us know. Some
questions, yeah.
We're not experts, so FYI, this is just like us discussing.
Yeah.
So if we want to have an educational conversation
about serial killers. You know. That was all for Jaime's case. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Cuento Crimen. We appreciate you all. Y nos vemos para la próxima semana. And don't forget, check out the questions on Spotify and come tell us what you think.